Greetings, cannabis cultivators worldwide. Jordan River here, back with more GrowCast. You know I have the Lekker Buds. Today we are headed all the way to South Africa. Very excited to wrap up this worldwide December. We might actually have a little bonus episode. Stay tuned. But this is the last time we'll be going outside of the United States for this worldwide December. Definitely going to do this again because I love speaking to growers all over the world, including today's guest, Hugo, from South Africa. You know it's going to be an interesting one. I don't even need to set it up. You're going to love it. Before we jump in, though, a lot of people have been asking me about getting a website, and we have worked with Canna Planners in the past. They have a new offer, $420 off a new website. Powerful, affordable web solutions. Go to cannaplanners.com/growcast to receive $420 off your quote for a website. That's cannaplanners.com/growcast. They built our website. They've built several guests' websites, and we've been getting emails about this. We've been getting DMs about this, asking how can we get a website like yours. cannaplanners.com/growcast, $420 off your quote. So go ahead and take advantage of that, guys. I thought I'd throw this roll in there for all of you who are looking for web solutions in the cannabis space and beyond. They also do marketing solutions, email solutions, all sorts of stuff. cannaplanners.com/growcast. All right, everybody, let's get into it with Hugo from The Grow Bro in South Africa. Thank you for listening and enjoy the program. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in again today. We are rounding out worldwide December, I believe. Make sure to hit subscribe on this podcast before we go any further. I urge you to do that. Share the show. And of course, check out our membership, The Order of Cultivation, at growcastpodcast.com/join the order. All one word. Okay, today, like I said, we're rounding out worldwide December. And boy, I'm really excited to speak to today's guest from all the way, I would say, across the globe, more or less. Down from South Africa, today we have Hugo from Grow Bro on. What's up, Hugo?
Yeah, I'm right yourself, Jordan.
Man, I'm doing great. It's great to talk to you. You are coming to us live right now on the recording from South Africa, yes?
Yeah, I'm based in Port Elizabeth. We're right at the bottom of South Africa, along the coast.
Oh my God, man. So incredible. So I'm really excited to speak with you today. First of all, thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate you, man.
Yeah, no stress. And thank you guys for having me. It's an honor to be on the show. I'm a big fan myself.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate that. We were talking off air there. I was just saying, we're automatically interested in you. You know, we talk to a lot of American growers, a lot of Canadian growers. When we get to go somewhere as far away and as exotic as South Africa to us, that's really, really interesting. First, quickly, you run a hydro store out there. That's what you're doing, right? The Grow Bro, that's your hydro store, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, so it's an organic and hydroponic grow shop. I like to emphasize the organic side as well, because that's sort of what I started to base the shop on right in the beginning, was the organic side. And yeah, we do the hydroponics, and yeah, we just try and look after the general house growers' needs.
Ah. Yeah, so, okay, first of all, before we get into the legalities, let's get a little background. What made you decide to want to start a hydro shop? What brought you into the cannabis world and the retail world when it comes to cannabis?
So, before I had the shop, I was in the electrical industry. I worked in the electrical industry for about 10 years and ended up being a rep. And what happened was, when they legalized cannabis in September 2018, I was so fascinated with growing cannabis. So one of the things I stumbled upon on Spotify was your show. So I just started to listen to the show, started to pick up some tips about growing, started to go more on the organic side of things. And I was just really interested in it. And then obviously COVID came and all of that. So I'd already done all the research. So I thought, well, now's the best time. I might as well start a shop. And the thing is, the products I wanted to grow, they weren't readily available in Port Elizabeth. So more of the organic amendments, those sort of things. Because there was a grow shop here, but they didn't have those amendments I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sort of felt like there was a gap in the market, not just in PE, but in South Africa in general.
Oh, of course.
So I decided to bring the products down here and open my shop.
I love it, man. That's killer. You said that you guys went legal in 2018. I'm going to jump around a little bit with these questions. I didn't realize that. I didn't realize you guys were, what are you, recreationally legal, medically legal? What are the cannabis laws in South Africa right now?
Yeah, so the bill still has to be passed. The bill's still there. It's up for discussion. But, you know, they sort of made it that we could have four flowering plants, 8 flowering plants as a household.
Oh, wow.
You can have like 100 grams on you as a person. You can have unlimited seeds and seedlings. But yeah, that still all needs to be finalized. But for now, it's a pretty gray area, and we sort of operate in the gray area at the moment.
Right. You're going to like that. That gray area is nice. Those aren't the worst laws for straight up recreational, though, if everybody has a chance. And I mean, 4 flowering plants, we could work on that. But the infinite seeds, infinite seedlings, that's a good start. Man, I had no idea that you guys had kind of, well, I guess not fully gone legal, like you said, the bill's still passing, but I didn't know it was kind of kosher already. I know that South Africa has a rich history of cannabis use, right? Like pre-legalization. What do you guys all call it? Daga down there? Is that right?
Yeah, it's called Dacha.
Dacha.
Yeah, Dacha. But there's a few ways of spelling it. It was used by the Khoisan people. And, you know, one of the ways that we try to spell it was D-A-C-H-A.
Ah.
But that all changed, I think, like in the 1940s or something. I think because of the Afrikaans culture, you know, we emphasize quite a lot of things. So I think they ended up changing it to the word Dacha to sort of make it stand out as something that's bad, where, you know, they already kind of stigmatized it, which isn't right.
Yeah. That's your version of marijuana, what we were doing with the Mexicans calling it. We ended up calling it marijuana. That's your version of it, the Dacha.
Yes. So lots of people, you know, you refer to it as cannabis in South Africa. They don't always know what you're talking about. But if you say Dacha, then they know straight away.
That's wild. See, I usually read it D-A-G-G-A. I thought it was Daga.
Yeah.
Super, super cool, though. Growing up, was it around? I mean, was it more of a, was everybody smoking it? More of a high class thing, more of a low class thing? How'd that work?
Yeah, I wouldn't say necessarily high class, maybe a bit lower class. People like to mix it with other drugs as well. So with your tuk and with your heroin, things like that. So I think that also gave it an extra bad name because now everybody uses it in a bad way. But yeah, it's always been used. Growing up, saw lots of people using it. And, you know, it is part of our culture. I mean, it is the norm. It was just never legal.
Right.
So, yeah, you just couldn't be caught with it before. Well, now you can be caught with it, but just the right amounts, I guess.
I like you, Hugo. You're easy to interview. This is great.
Oh, shut up, man.
So South Africa, the climate. In worldwide December, that's one of the things we're focusing on is these growers grow in different areas of North America. They grow in different countries across the world. The South African climate, I know for a fact, ranges widely. Like I know you guys have more desert areas. You said you're on the coast. What can you tell me about growing in South Africa, just where you've grown and then maybe some of the other climates that you've seen or heard of?
Well, firstly, I mean, yeah, we have, you know, we have the African sun, yeah. I mean, you can't beat that. So we're winning on the growing side. And then, you know, from Cape Town, they're pretty windy, but also it's diverse. You know, coming down the coast, it's more humid. Here in PE, we are the friendly city, but we're also the windy city. So we're sort of like your Chicago, I guess. And then going up Durban side, it's also very humid. If you go more inland, I'd probably say it's a bit drier. So, and everybody would have their own problems to deal with. You know, on the dry side, you have your spider mites. And then on the more humid side, like here, you know, we struggle with PM,
right?
Powdery mildew. So Yeah, you know, then we have to use things like humidifiers, air cons, all those sorts of things come into play if you're growing indoors. If you're growing outdoors, yeah, you can't really do too much except RPM programs.
Definitely pray. I just had a bit of a flashback. I got lucky enough to go to South Africa one time, spent some time outside of Cape Town. When you said the wind, I was just taken back to how fucking windy it gets.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Far windier than Chicago, man. I'll tell you, Chicago gets crazy, like lakefront winds and stuff, and it goes down the corridors of the building. So it makes it like you'll turn a corner, and it's like, bam, you're getting blasted by cold wind. But as far as power, South African wind was like blowing trees over, and like you just completely made me flash back. I forgot about the whipping winds in South Africa. Do those get bad and tear your plants apart?
It's especially bad along the coast.
Wow.
The wind.
And that'll rip your plants apart, I bet.
Yeah. So one of the things I say is insulation tape is one of your friends growing in PE. Because you always need insulation tape to retie your plants because they snap in half or they're snapping a branch. Or
Jesus.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I forgot about the wind. Is there anything else you can do about that? Do you put up like privacy fence to maybe block the wind? Or that's a problem that most growers don't face, but I can't imagine there's much you can do about it, really.
Yeah, but they do put up shade cloths maybe on the side of their grow or the top, just anything to really deter the wind. Doesn't always help, but it does do the job.
Holy shit.
And greenhouses are pretty popular, obviously, because of that reason.
I bet. Yeah, you want to be in a greenhouse at that point. Man, those whipping winds. It would blow the cherry out of my joint, literally. I remember that.
Where did you stay, huh?
I'm embarrassed to say. It was like the nicest, most tourist. I was up at Camps Bay.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, my dad was down there for business and stuff, and he invited me and my lady. It was, dude, a life-changing trip.
Yeah,
the South African people are so nice. We went to Table Mountain, the natural beauty there, Cape of Good Hope. It's some of the most impressive natural beauty I've ever seen. I really love your country, man.
Awesome.
I listened to Die Antwoord. Like, I am a South African nerd. So it's really cool to speak with you guys about that.
Yeah, it doesn't get more South African than Die Antwoord.
I love it, man.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with Hugo, but before that, the FOOB, everybody. FOOBcana.com. You can go there. You can get yourself the FOOB with code GROWCAST15. That's GROWCAST15 for 15% off. I believe that's a limited time code. Go ahead and try it. Also code GROWCAST420. Should be a permanent code, but GROWCAST15 is a larger discount. 15% off your nutrients, your clone gel, the FOOB mist. Gotta love that FOOB mist. Full spectrum, instantly deliver nutrition to your plants. Great for the cutting stage when they're struggling to get nutrition from the roots. You can use the mist, but be careful with this stuff, guys. It's powerful. When your plants are seedlings, you want to use one little spritz. That's it. You could literally fry your plants. That's how powerful this stuff is. But once they get bigger, give them a little more of a saturation. I literally just hit my 4x4 with it, and the plants are praying. Within an hour, they are absolutely praying. And that's because there is a wide variety of ingredients inside that mist. All of the macro and micronutrients, microbes, including mycorrhizal fungi in there, all sorts of microbes, actually, and aloe extract and peppermint oil and a couple other little secret goodies, FOOB mist. You can find it at foopcanada.com, code GROWCAST15, and enter the giveaway at growcastpodcast.com/FOOB. It goes every week. Enter that giveaway every week. What are you guys doing? Win some free nutrients. Get on in there, just submit your email, and you're entered to win for free. All right, everybody, thanks to the FOOB. Let's get back to Hugo. I do want to talk about strains, though. I was going to shout out Harry, the cab driver. He was the one who hooked me up with some what was clearly local South African, not like modern polyhybridized weed. He hooked me up and he said, be careful with that shit. It'll make you jump into the sea. That's what he told me. That was really funny. And it was pretty good. It was interesting to smoke something from so far away. But I would love to talk to you about strains, what you guys are growing. I imagine that you're probably growing a lot of modern stuff now. But are there any, are there any like South African classics or names that you remember specifically growing up that were heirloom strains?
So, yeah, we have things like Durban Poison, which is obviously very popular here, which is a pure sativa. And then we got things like Malawi Gold, although it's not from South Africa, it's from Malawi, but it's pretty popular here.
Wow.
Swazi Gold, and then things like Rooibos. Those are, you know, South African strains.
Jeez.
We also do the international ones. Lots of people growing Ethos at the moment, in-house genetics, Dutch Passion, Royal Queen Seeds.
Bunch of fire.
Yeah, and then people like Thug Pug, they're also available here. You know, lots of people growing with his genetics. I even saw some terpene the other day. So, yeah, we're getting there. We're going to join you guys soon. You're always ahead of us, but we get there eventually.
That's fucking wild, dude. That's really wild. It sounds like a bunch of heat you have popping off. But man, the number of African heirlooms that you just listed kind of blew my mind. So who's bordering you guys? You got, forgive me, is it Zimbabwe on the, you got a Zimbabwe as a border, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So are some of these other strains, like you said, coming from Malawi, coming from other African countries? Or is South Africa kind of like the cannabis country of the area? Does that make sense?
Yeah, yes and no. Like I said, the Malawi and the Swazi, I mean, those aren't from South Africa, but they are pretty popular here.
Grown there, right?
I just think we have a ton of people growing here, especially now after the, you know, the new bill and all of that, whereas it's not as available in the other African countries around us or close to us.
Wow.
You know, like in Namibia and those sorts of places, I don't think they'd grow like we grow here.
Okay. Okay, yeah. So you've got Zimbabwe in the northeast. And that makes sense. The Swazi coming from Eswatini. I'm sorry, Eswatini. This is coming from Swaziland.
Swaziland, yes.
Wow. Okay. And then the Mozambique, too, is bordering you?
Yes.
So I know there's strains coming out of there. Wow, but you say not so much Namibia, that western side. And it's funny, looking at a map, it looks like that there's so much desert, it looks like, on that western side.
Yes, there's a ton of desert there, so it's quite dry, not a lot of greenery.
Jesus, this is so
probably
cool.
A lot of indoor they're growing there.
Wow, so lots of heirloom strains from bordering countries, but grown a lot in South Africa and beyond, I'm sure. But wow, man, it's the picture is coming together.
Yeah, and lots of crosses are done with things like Durban Poison, you know, lots of breeding overseas even. I mean, people come here and then they take some of our genetics, like the Durban Poisons, etc., and then they take it overseas and they do breeding projects with it there, you know, and then we end up with some of it back here, so...
That's wild. We take it away.
Lots of people complain that our genetics gets taken away from us. But yeah, it is what it is, you know. It's like that all over the world, I guess.
We polyhybridize it and we make it weak and susceptible to powdery mildew. And then we give it a bunch of viroids and then we ship it back to you.
Yeah, you give it back to us. So then we have to grow out the PM. Yeah. Epic. Thanks a mo.
Thanks a mo. I love it. What? Lecker, as they say? Lecker? Delicious, I think that means.
Oh,
or cool.
Lecker, yeah.
Okay, cool.
That's Lecker.
Okay, bad time to use that phrase, I guess. He's like, oh, yeah, sure. Trying to cram in the reference. Yeah, looking at Durban right now, kind of on that eastern side, obviously where the poison originated, I'd imagine.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is where it originated.
Yeah, port city there.
Oh, but again, it was always a taboo thing, you know. People weren't really supposed to be smoking weed and yeah. So I think we just sort of looked after the plant.
Man.
But it's nice to have something that's ours, you know, to call it our plant, I guess.
Man, it's really fucking cool what's going on down there. It really interests me. As far as home growers, a lot of people grow in their own, probably pre-legalization, and then now even more people grow in their own, I'd imagine.
Yeah, so people were growing in the dark before, lots of home growers, indoor, etc., or a little bit of outdoor. But now, I mean, lots of people are growing. Everyone wants to grow, whether you're young, old, male, female, doesn't matter. Like, you just grow any gender, any color, any age, doesn't matter. So everybody just loves growing. And home growers, yeah, there's a ton of them. Indoor growers, even you know, people growing in their yard. Problem is that people can't stop growing. You know, people just love growing so much. So it's nice to see. It's nice to see us turning the place green.
Yeah, man. Brings a smile to my face. I would like to know about the average South African grower. You said you've got indoor and outdoor growers, probably a good mix of that. 50-50 or more indoor or more outdoor. What would you say?
Yeah, so I'd say probably, you know, it depends, because in winter, everybody wants to grow indoors, and then summertime, everybody wants to grow outdoors.
Sure.
But yeah, I'd say probably about a 50-50, probably more outdoors, because, you know, growing indoors does become expensive.
Yeah.
And not a lot of people can afford it. And throwing some seeds out into your yard and getting free weed, you know, just looking after it, giving it some nutrients. It's better than buying it on the black market.
Fucking
so
right.
At least you know what you're treating the plant with, what you're feeding it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a cheap alternative. Although it's outdoor, the quality is not always as good, but yeah.
Yeah, the light is a hard initial purchase. But like you said, when you have that African sun, you're not short on photons at that point, man.
Yeah.
Really
yeah.
Fucking
but,
cool.
But the thing is, we also have load shedding. Yeah. So the load shedding, I don't know if you know what load shedding is, but...
What is that?
We don't have it all the time, but we could have it for a week, 2 weeks, depends on what our electricity company says. But yeah, they basically, they'll switch off your electricity for 2 hours every day, or maybe twice a day. So if you're running 18 hours on, 6 hours off, it's okay if the plants are vegging. But you know, once they start to flower and stuff like that, I mean...
You don't want to fuck with them like that.
It can become problematic. Yeah, you don't want to mess with them.
Yeah, that could freak them
and
out.
And the other issue is then things like powdery mildew also become a problem, because, you know, the lights and stuff just goes off and then the humidity shoots up. So... Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a lot of issues to deal with indoor as well.
Yeah, it sounds like that's tough. Like you said, with the inconsistent power, you basically need a generator. That's really tough. Whereas with the sun, you don't. Hey, that leads me to a good question, though. What are the light cycles like down there? Do you guys have a full-term season? Is it similar to ours? How does that work?
You mean for outdoor?
Yeah, like what are the lights? I was just in Hawaii, for instance. Shout out to Molokai Kevin and all the member content. If you guys haven't heard that, holy shit. But in Hawaii, they have these weird light cycles because where they are on the globe, where they need to supplement light outdoors and then take them away to do flowering. I don't know if you guys have a similar like harvest time in the fall like we do, or what your light cycle is like in South Africa.
No, it's pretty similar. Obviously, our seasons are just switched around. But the guys still do light dip, but that's just to harvest more during the year. But the light cycles are pretty straightforward.
It must be when you get close to the equator. I'm so bad at geography and understanding time zones and this sort of thing. Daylight savings, like, always still confuses me as a full-grown fucking man. But like,
yeah,
that makes
so
sense.
Our plants are flowering, yeah, about February, March, around about there, they'll start to flower. So they'll be vegging now, because we're only starting our summer now, well, since like November. So yeah.
Okay, that I understand.
Starting to ramp up.
Your seasons are swapped. They're probably about the same length,
yes.
I'd imagine, because we're a similar distance from the equator, just in different directions. So you're harvesting in February, you said. Is that
So they're starting to flower in
flowering in February. Okay.
In March. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wow, dude.
So
that's
like
nuts.
You guys have croptober, but we're about 4 months before that. We already, or 4, 5, 6 months already, we're harvesting.
Oh, man. That's wild. That's interesting stuff.
But the guys, they do some winter grows, you know, with autos, things like that.
Sure.
I mean, it is becoming more popular, but the autos don't yield as much.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely a learning curve. I want to ask you about if people are growing all year round like that, though. Does the weather stay nice and warm? What does winter look like there?
No, I wouldn't say it stays nice and warm. It's pretty cold. You know, yeah, in Port Elizabeth, we've had a drought for quite some time. We do get rain now and then, but like I said, the wind's pretty bad here. So I think every time it wants to rain, then the wind just sort of blows it away. But winters, yeah, we get cold winters, especially like places like the Drakensberg in South Africa. It gets very cold there. But yeah, it's bearable to grow outdoors. I mean, you just have more issues with the plants, and they don't grow as fast. and as big.
Right. Just kind of symptoms of the colder climate. It doesn't snow or anything, does it, right? Until you get elevated?
Yeah, not where I am, no. Right. Not along the coast.
Wow. I just remember, the more I think about it, how intense the weather is. How the weather comes rolling off of those cliffs. You can see the clouds literally pouring off of the cliffs like a waterfall. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. That's crazy.
I mean, it's really, you can I'm sure the plants feel that pressure difference in the air because you can feel it. And like I said, when the wind started to blow, just absolutely whipping winds, pull the cherry right out of your joint. Like I said, it's a true fucking story.
Yeah, and the wind blows bad, yeah, in beer. I mean, how many times branches have snapped on my plants? And I like doing super cropping just to, you know, make the plants a bit stronger at that knuckle. But yeah, sometimes it's best to maybe just leave them to grow like a Christmas tree so they can just probably handle the wind a bit better.
Wow, man. Yeah, you better like super cropping because the wind is going to come and fucking do it for you. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's totally crazy, man.
Yeah.
What would you change about cannabis and growers in South Africa? I don't know if you want to take this from like a legislative perspective. What would you change or like change the minds of growers to do more organic or answer it however you want. But what would you change about cannabis in South Africa?
I'd really like to see them grow more organically. Mm. You know, hydroponics is popular, but in saying that, I mean, we're only really starting our growing journey now or, you know, the past year or two. So, you know, I think we're still going to get there to where, you know, things like hydroponics is super popular, organics is popular. But yeah, I just want from the bat, I want people to, you know, kind of think about what they're putting in, you know, consuming. Because, I mean, they're growing the plant. So, you know, if you're going to grow it organically, you're going to use organic pest management, things like that. Then at the end of the day, you're going to be consuming the product. So, yeah, I don't know. That's just my opinion. You know, you could sort of want it to be organic, I guess.
I think that starting with, you, like you said, the pest control and the fungal control, I mean, that's a huge step. Fertilizer and stuff is harder for a cannabis grower to swallow, I feel like. But anything you can do in that direction is obviously right up our alley. We support growers of all types, but we do also, like you said, encourage people to take a look at organics, take a look at, you know, the sustainability costs of chelated chemical nutrients, the persistence of EDTA in the environment, stuff like that. And if you still want to grow synthetic, honestly, it's still more power to you, in my opinion. I'm about the plant.
But it also has its bonuses. I mean, the plants grow faster. You know, there are lots of bonuses growing in that way as well. So each one has their own problem.
Yeah, when you're working with those chelated chemical nutrients, you run into a lot less deficiencies.
Yeah.
But to me, and you know that I'll argue with guests like Dr. Coco day and night until I'm red in the face with this topic. But to me, there is just something going on with the flavor compounds and the living soil beneficial bacteria. You know, making sense now with Jeff Lowenfels coming on and talking about how the bacteria makes its way. Yeah. His recent episode was incredible, talking about how bacteria goes into the trichomes. I mean, certainly that's contributing to flavor. And I think that's why organic tastes better. And, you know, it's funny I say that, though, because then you get some synthetic flower from a fan or from a local grower or a friend, and it's so fucking tasty that you're like, man, like, how did you got to be using some sort of microbial stimulants. And he was. But anyways, I like that organic flower end product so much that even sustainability aside, that's my main way to grow. So I like that, Hugo. I respect that you're trying to spread that.
Yeah. And, you know, that's what I also want people to kind of learn to grow your own cannabis, because you don't know what you're getting on the black market. You don't know what they've been spraying it with. You know, you might find it being, you know, cheaper to buy it, but at the end of the day, it's actually way cheaper just to grow your own, because the nutrients, the soil, the pots, it doesn't cost that much. And then at the end of the day, it's just your time and your effort, you know?
Right.
And then you get to grow and smoke your own weed. So yeah, I'd really encourage people to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that another part of it is just tasting the hard work. Like you can literally taste the love that you put into it. So I couldn't agree more, man.
I agree 100%.
So Hugo, I have to ask you, again, being from across the globe, when you're growing cannabis or just anything, what type of pests, insect pests, do you guys face out there? Is it the same like broad mites and thrips, or do you have some sort of wild, some bizarre, you know, African, you know, species of mite?
No, I think from outside, it's pretty similar. I'd probably list about 4 or 5 issues. Thrips is a problem. Spider mites also being a big problem. And then, you know, if you're growing outdoors, you got problems with aphids, grasshoppers, caterpillars, things like that.
Jeez, man.
And then, yeah, we also have lots of PM problems.
You literally have all the same pests that we do in North America, thousands of miles away. I mean, gardeners are united on one thing across the globe. If there's one thing we've learned in Worldwide December, it's that aphids and mites are everywhere. You have all the same stuff we do. That kind of blows my mind, Hugo.
Yeah, I think they just really love cannabis, just as much as we do, I guess.
They'll go anywhere the cannabis goes. Do you guys have fungus gnats out there?
Yeah, and we got lots of fungus gnats. I actually forgot about that.
Same ones.
So yeah, fungus gnats is a problem, especially if you're growing, you know, living soils and things, then they do become a problem. Unless you do drybacks, things like that.
Right, right.
They are an issue.
Yeah, a lot of our soils come preloaded with fungus gnats. And if you tend to overwater like I can do, yeah, you get them pretty bad, like you said.
I think I actually just sort of consider them part of the ecosystem sometimes, you know. Just sort of have to keep them at bay.
Yeah.
Just don't let them get out of hand.
I agree with that, especially later on in the plant's life cycle. They probably won't do that much damage. But again, they're apparently prolific from London to Port Elizabeth to Chicago, Illinois. The fungus gnat, the aphid, they're present everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Do you guys have a lot of issues with caterpillars there or grasshoppers?
Yeah, we don't have grasshoppers as bad. Maybe you can write me, listener, from the States and say, yes, we do. I mean, I've definitely seen them, but yes, caterpillars are huge. Man, that's what I've really seen devastate a lot of different outdoor growers are these moths or caterpillars that, you know, lay their little larvae in the buds. They call them budworms out in Hawaii, or cola worms, I think is what they call them out in Hawaii. We have West Coast growers who find that, you know, poop on the inside of their bud that creates that bud rot that's from the larva of the caterpillars and the moths. Sounds like it's exactly the same thing you're dealing with, right?
Yeah, exactly the same. You have to sort of pick them off sometimes.
Yeah, it's brutal. So yeah, it sounds like largely the same amount of pests. It's pretty mind-blowing. I know you mentioned the Deasley strain, I think you said it was, that you had that was an heirloom. Can you describe to us any other heirlooms from your area and what their flavors and experiences were like?
Well, we mostly have sativas down here, I think probably because of the African sun. They just love growing here. So, I mean, you know, your Durban poison for me has always been like a sweet sort of fruity flavor.
Ooh.
Yeah, also gets you very creative. So, yeah, enjoy growing Durban poison. Then, as I mentioned, I mean, Swazi gold, Malawi gold, those are normally more citrusy for me. I'd say probably the Swazi is a bit sweeter sometimes.
Ooh.
We also have a rooibos here, which is, you know, from the Transcar. And there it's more of a earthy sort of flavor.
Oh,
I can put it like that.
What's that? Could you spell that strain name?
Yeah, it's R-O-O-I-B-A-A-R-D. So in English, it would just be red beard because of the red hairs on the bud. Yeah, it's, direct translation is red beard. But I mean, they're difficult to really get. Like if you want to get a proper red beard, probably be difficult to find.
Wow.
But yeah. Those are the sort of strains around here.
Damn.
Mostly sativa and I'd say, yeah, sweet citrusy sort of flavors or fruity.
And the red beard, that sounds epic. I know there are listeners who are kind of heirloom landrace heads who are probably losing their mind right now. You say it's harder to get the real stuff with that red beard though, you said, the authentic genetics, you mean?
Yeah, it's difficult to find the authentic genetics. I mean, people say they are growing it, but who knows if it is the authentic thing or not.
Oh my God, dude, that is so
But
cool.
Yeah, like the Durban Poisons and the Swazi Golds and Malawis, those you're still able to find.
That's what most people are growing down there, would you say? Most growers? I know you said they're also growing more hot stuff too, but those are the classics if you're a South African. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, those are the classics. Durban Poison's a proper classic. But yeah, lots of the people are growing mixed strains from all over the place.
This just popped into my head, though, randomly. Do you remember the first strain that you grew that, I mean, I was going to say that had a name, but do you remember the first strain that you popped?
Well, it was Bag Seed. I can't remember, but all I know is it smelled like diesel. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, what the hell? This is the craziest thing ever. So yeah, that blew my mind. And from that day forward, like, yeah, it just all made sense. It just made sense to me. Like, this is why I'm growing my own weed, because of the, you know, the flavor profiles and everything you get from growing it properly.
Yeah, the wide array. But that's dope, because you probably got some, it was probably an heirloom strain locally. You got a Bag Seed. Maybe it was feminized pollen, maybe it wasn't. And that just started it all, huh?
Yeah, that just started it all. And obviously listening to your guys' show and, you know, products. I mean, even some products you guys were talking about, you know, when I started my business, these were the sort of products I was looking for. I mean, Blue Mat, the Chicamasas,
oh, nice.
The trim bags, all of those sorts of things. I mean, I was just looking to get those things in my store because I knew they worked.
So
and
shout out,
you guys
man.
Had already tried and tested it for us.
I love that. Let's talk about your grow store for a second. First of all, before we get into, like, you know, products and stuff like that, what's an average day like there? I mean, I'm sure it's just like another grow store, and I'm romanticizing it because you're in South Africa, but, like, I don't know, like, walk me through an average day, some of your types of customers or what it looks like running this thing in South Africa.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. But like today, I mean, we offloaded 2 pallets of soil, got in some nutrients, you know, we pack the shelves. I do a lot of website work myself. And then, yeah, we just help the customers when they walk in. We try and give them the best advice possible. You know, we're not saying we're experts, but we sort of cater for the home grower. Obviously, the bigger scale growers as well. But, you know, we want to help the home grower to grow better weed. Mm. And, you know, them hearing it from us and, yeah, just an honest opinion. I think they really enjoy that.
Man, it's dope.
And, yeah, shout out to Liam. He's the guy that works with me. I'm privileged to have someone work with me, you know, that's such a lucky oak. And also, you know, the advice he gives to the customers, it's nice. We're a good team.
I like it, man. Yeah, I got to have a good partner. I was going to say partner in crime. Got to have a good partner in business. In business, my friend.
Yeah, yeah.
A wide variety of customers, old people, young people, people looking to smoke good weed.
Yeah, we have a really wide variety of customers. And it's so odd to see, you know, when I get older people in there and then they actually enjoy talking about it, about all the plants they have in their yard and about back in the day, you know, it wasn't legal and they had to do everything undercover. And now it's so nice for them just to be able to grow it in peace. Yeah, it's good to see.
Man, I love it. Grow Bro, of course, is the name of the shop, the Grow Bro, right?
Yeah, the Grow Bro. That's THEGROBRO.
Okay, let's shout out the Instagram really quickly. If you're on Instagram or the website, probably anything you want to plug for the Grow Bro.
Yeah, so on Instagram, you can find us at the Grow Bro. That's at THEGROBRO. That's without the W. Same on Facebook. And then my website is www.thegrowbro.co.za.
.za. I love that. Why is it ZA for South Africa? Why not SA?
I think it's because it's Zuid Afrika. I think that's like a Dutch thing or Afrikaans thing. And then they just made it ZA.
It's fucking cool. You speak Afrikaans?
Yes, I am actually Afrikaans.
Of course.
I just happen to speak decent English.
Great English, I'd say. Could you give us a little bit just here for a second? I'm sorry.
Some Afrikaans.
If you don't mind.
Okay, yes, Jordan, ek wou net baie dankie sê dat julle my op die Growcast podcast gehad het. Ek waardeer dit baie. En ja, ek sien uit na die toekoms, nie net vir julle nie, maar ook vir ons. Shot, man.
So fucking cool.
Yeah, there we go.
Thank you, man. Yeah, it's got that Dutch influence. It's just, that's super cool. Appreciated that, man. All the listeners appreciated this episode. We love that you're listening from across the globe. Like, that just makes us so happy. I can't believe that you're turning people onto the show and all that good stuff. So just thank you, Hugo, for the appearance, for the support, and for being a great member of the cannabis industry in South Africa.
Thank you very much for those kind words, Jordan. I really appreciate it. And yeah, it means so much to me to be on the show. You don't even understand. So I'm really privileged. I can't believe it all started with me listening to the show. Yeah, it's mental.
No, dude, it's
meant
nothing.
To be, I guess.
I want to hear these stories. You know, it's funny. I was talking to Rich and I said, it's Worldwide December. We got to get somewhere from Africa. You know, and he goes, I know just the guy. So this was another Rhino Rich connection, a Rhino Rich production.
That's so crazy. And then, I mean, I was messaging Rich and yeah, and then just he said it and I was like, yeah, of course, I'd love to be on the show.
It's nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Cool, man. Well, let us know, listeners. I know you liked this episode. We post on Instagram when we do an episode. It's up on our Patreon as well. Let me know in the comments how you like listening to Hugo all the way from South Africa. And that's all for today. One more time, thank you, Hugo.
All right, cheers. Shot, Jordan.
All right, everybody. That's all for now. We're at Growcast on Instagram. Follow the Grow Bro, obviously. And we'll catch you next time. This is Hugo and Jordan River signing off, saying to all you growers, wherever you are, be safe out there and grow smarter. That's our show for today, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. What a great one this was, all the way across the globe. Absolutely incredible. Before we wrap it up, join the order. What are you waiting for? We've got the best community around. We're bringing order to a chaotic cannabis community. We're looking for positive-minded growers who are uplifting each other, no matter your growing style, no matter what lights you use. Share your opinions, share your best strategies, do it respectfully, and you are welcome at the order. Growcastpodcast.com/join the order. If you join right now, you'll be refunded right away so you can enjoy free access till the end of the month. Cancel if you don't like it. You won't be charged on the first. And like I said, we are cultivating a positive cannabis community. We've now got regional chapters so you can connect with growmies in your area, work your way up in rank, earn prizes, limited edition art for your tent, and get the support of the community, you know? Get your plant problem solved by Mary Beth Sanchez and Rizo Rich and Wolfman and myself. Share your successes, win prizes, and tune into the hundreds of hours of bonus content, including Growcast TV, which, if I may say so myself, is a wonderful show. If you like this show, you're going to love our live video web show, Growcast TV, all at growcastpodcast.com/join the order. It's time you joined. We'll see you there. Thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate all of you. I appreciate the members. I appreciate you listeners. Just staying subscribed and tuning in really makes my day. Thank you so much. I look forward to bringing you more grow content this week. Maybe a little bonus episode coming. So stay tuned. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.